Start recording. Okay. So we have a lot of good stuff for today, in my humble opinion. We're going to start with the Ramban, where we left off. Oop. How do we have a chat already? Sorry. I'm sorry for cutting off the hack. I got to go a little longer if anybody wants. Everybody, please, you know, raise some discussion for everyone to weigh in on. Oh, I didn't know one has anything to say. Donnie, you want to be the Hackmeister today? You have something? No? All right. If we all vote to get started, I'll second it. Okay. So we have the Ramban on Ayin Ches, which is where we left off. The background to this discussion is Tosos's contention. I think this is Tosos's main argument, that everybody, both Abaye and Rava, has to agree to the requirement of Ones Haba Machmas Apshia because of the Mishnah on Ayin Ches. Sound familiar? Remember the concern being for Tosos, if you are socher behema to work in a valley and you're mishana in a bika and you're mishana and you use it in a har, the Gemara says that if it dies machmas hachama, you're pater. And Tosa said, why should that be? It's tchilasa bipshia le'inyan, slipping. So l'man damar tchilasa bipshia socher bonas chayiv, there's no way to make sense of the p'tur in the Mishnah. And this led Tosus to conclude that l'chol ha-deos, we require ones haba machmas apshia. Good? Of course, this is inconsistent with the Rif, because the Rif thought that Abaye denies ones haba machmas apshia. That's the looming problem. So enters the Ramban. Dum, dum, dum. Dramatic drum roll. So what does the Ramban say? I think this is just a genius insight from the Ramban, kind of pointing a finger at Tosos, saying that Tosos messed up big time here. I think he's accusing Tosos of a basic conceptual error. Of course, the Ramban is so nice, he doesn't say that. Well, so what's the Ramban's move? It took me a while to appreciate this piece. I think initially you kind of read it. Took me a few reads to get traction on what the Ramban's trying to do. So Zakaria, it looks like you unmuted yourself. Looks like you're volunteering.
Yeah. Says something about the case in Ayin Ches. So the case in Ayin Ches, just to review the facts, is the Mafkid tells the Socher, you can take this donkey on the Har, and instead he takes it on the Bika. And the Har is susceptible to slipping, the Bika is more susceptible to overheating. Okay, so that's the circumstances. So if someone's mishana, so Ramban and everyone has been assuming that this is a classic tchilaso bipshia case. Ramban notes, however, this shinoi is not in fact shia. Why? Because the net risk in the har and the net risk in the bika are actually equal. It is merely the composition, the makeup of that risk that is different between them. In a har, you have more of a chance of slipping, less of a chance of overheating. The bika, more of a chance of overheating, less of a chance of slipping. Why do you have it all? So when you're mishana, it seems to me that the mafkid, when he told you, please take it in the heart, not the bika, he says, please, I know the level of risk is not that high. It's not above pshia for, let's say, overheating in general, but I want you to specifically guard against overheating. So please take it on the heart, not the bika. Therefore, when he's Mishana and goes to the Bika, he is, violating the Das Mafkid to some extent. And even an onus that happens afterwards, so an onus, well, Mathmas, that Shinoi, he'll be liable for. There's just a little bit more to work out, but that's the general overview.
Yeah, there's a little more to work out. That's the general gist of it. Let's refine that. I think Zakaria got us rolling here. So it's, Tchilaso b'Zecharia. Anybody wants to refine on it, it could be Sofo b'whatever. We'll judge whether the sofa was bought machma Sakharia or independent of Sakharia.
Sorry, you cut out for me for like the entire comment.
Oh, I said it's Tchilasa b'Zacharia. And whoever refines it further, it'll be sofa with them. And we'll have to judge whether it's ba machma Zacharia's contribution. So let's refine Zacharia's comment a little more. Zacharia sets us on the right track. That's right. So what's the key distinction that the Ramban's drawing, and how does it solve the problem? What's the error that he's accusing Tosos of? Let's start there.
As in, it's not Tchilas B'Shia, it's merely Tchilas B'Shinoi.
Excellent. Tosos just assumed, which when you think about it, is kind of crazy when you look at the Mishnah, that this is a case of Tchilas B'Shia. Notice we're not dealing with a Shomer Chinam here, or at least it's not obvious we're dealing with a Shomer Chinam. We're dealing with a Tchiras case, a Sofer HaSahar, a Sofer HaSachamor. And the Ramban's point is there's no reason to read Pshia into any of these cases. So maybe the Mishnah is not relevant to a discussion of Tchilas of Pshia Sofa Bonas. Just a great point. Like, why does Tosfos assume that it's Tchilas of Pshia, like it's a case of Tchilas of Pshia? And that's what he says here. Aval tam hanacham b'mishnah seinu she'ein hashinu mehar lebeka Pshia. This is not a case of Pshia. Now, why does the Ramban think it's not Pshia? So he, you know, this is to explicate that, this is to motivate that argument. It's not Pshia because hazeko matzoi bezek mo bezek, meaning in order for something to count as Pshia, you have to expose it to some new type of risk or cross some new threshold of risk exposure, risk imposition. And that doesn't happen in this case because of the net offsets of risk in one area relative to the other. So for whatever fancy reason the Ramban's putting forward here, Shinoi Mehar Labika is not Pshia. There's no net risk imposition. There's no increased risk. So it doesn't rise to the level of Pshia. Everybody good with that? Excellent. And I think that's like the key counterpose to Tosfos. Once this case is not a case of Tchilas B'Shia anymore, it's not relevant. You can't prove that everybody has to hold Ones Ba, that everybody requires Ones Ba Machmas B'Shia. So what is our case about then? Then we'll take Adin's hand. Our case is about breach of contractual expectations, not about gross negligent behavior. And this is just a further assumption here to explicate that for the Ramban, negligence is not defined by breaching the expectations of the agreement. Negligence seems to have some objective benchmark of risk exposure or risk imposition. And there's a separate conceptual category or legal category of breaching the expectations of the contract. And the Ramban therefore says that when you're socher to use a bibika, and you breach or you deviate and you use a bahar, that's eno shmira lamasha amara maskir, meaning you've breached the expectation of the agreement. Okay. Now the Ramban says, and this is how he explains the Mishnah, in order to be liable for breaching the expectations of the contractual agreement or the contractual expectations, there, it has to be shown that the onus relates to the breach. Everybody see that? That's what our Mishnah requires. Meaning it has to be shown, she'im shamar kemosha amar balabayis lo ira la misa zu. Okay. The machmas requirement here is a requirement with respect to chiyuv for shinui midas hamasker, not a requirement of tchilas b'shia sofa bonas, and that's why you have machmas in this discussion, chiyuv machmas the initial shinui. That's a requirement for breaching contractual expectations. It's not a requirement for tchilas b'shia, meaning for Abaye, you could hold Tchilas B'Shia Sofa Bones without any issue arising from this Mishnah. Faria, is that what you're getting at? Is this, I think I've added a little bit right in clarification. I think that's what's going on here in the Ramban. So just again, there are many important points. The two most important points to my mind are number one, Tosa, the Ramban's point against Tosa is this is not a Shia issue. I would say point number two is the conceptual distinction between the objective definition of Shia, of risk exposure, and subjective breaches from contractual expectations. And let's just leave it at those two. Those are the two most important points that emerge from this Ramban right now. Obviously, what follows from the first point is that there's no raya that the onus has to be b'mach masab Shia for tchilas of Shia sof l'onus. Again, you have a hand on this?
Yeah, I think I'm. First of all, I think it's two great, separate points.
Is this a great Ramban in your view?
So I think yes, but with the two questions I have, like on under. So is this all like? Could this end up just boiling down to a machlokas and metzias in terms of like Tosot thinks? Like this only this the Ramban like the modifier that we like Lafisha Hazika Matsoi Bazek no Bazek, the entire mod like that if you think that the Har is more risky than the Bika, then this entire like then you have a very straightforward like yeah then Ramban would agree it's Pshia. That like this is somewhat of an ukimta of him saying that like that it oh that it clearly just equals out in terms of risk exposure, which I don't it's not necessarily clear from the Mishnah, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose you could say that this is the machlokes and metzias, but that's as uninteresting as saying that anything's machlokes and metzias, right?
No, I'm saying that the Ramban, I don't know which is the cart and which is the horse in this case, but this really interesting perspective, like becomes unnecessary or unfounded if what the Mishnah means is that like you took it to a riskier place than you were supposed to.
Yeah.
I guess the Mishnah phrases it.
You don't get the sense from the Mishnah that there's a net increase in risk, that there's an increase in net risks. You don't get that sense from the Mishnah. It sounds like each place.
Can we go back to the text? Yeah. The Mishnah has it both ways, right? I'm just not afraid. Like the Mishnah says, Yisrira Lahar, Vigarda Bika, and vice versa. Are both Chayav or just one?
Correct. Meaning it's so there's huchlika risks in one, there's huchma risks in the other.
Yeah.
Right? So there's no
okay, yeah.
Like there's no commitment in the Mishnah that one domain is riskier, all things considered, than the other.
Yeah. Okay. So I still think that my next point is relevant, which is that like especially in the way that it was one thing if the Ramban would say, okay, if you were Mishana at all from your rental agreement, then that kicks off like this separate category, but
if,
I assume based on
but you're only supposed... but you're only chayiv if we could trace the dots of the ones to your shinoi.
For sure. So let's say if I rented to bring the donkey on the I rented to ride the I'm going to ride the
let
donkey.
Me say, over let, me just, let me just say something. Let me just cut you off for 1 second, which is to say, I think for the Ramban, that maybe Poshea could be like Mazik, something like that for Abaye, but Mishana is not Kemazik, right? Unless it substantially contributes to the Nezak. But go ahead, Adin.
Yeah, so I want to come back to that formulation in a second. So the first thing, so for the Ramban, if I rented the donkey to climb over Mount Everest, and then I just say, you know what, I'm actually going to leave the donkey in my backyard. I think we would all agree that that's across the board reduced risk exposure. But then the donkey, I don't know, trips on a root in my backyard or something like that. Would the Ramban right. say that I'm chayav because, isn't that machmas? The ones came machmas, like there are no roots on Mount Everest. There are roots in my backyard.
I mean, like it's an interesting question.
So I agree with you. I think the Ramban would say no, which then this just seems like, what's the actual difference between ones ba machmas ha shinui that increased the risk versus ones ma machmas ha pshia that increased the risk? Like this just seems like the same conclusion with different terms.
So I don't think so, because I think the difference is that this is the distinction that I made when I cut you off, that Shia is like a sufficient ground to be mechayev you. So like for Abaye, we don't care that there's no connection between the pshia and the ones. Whereas Mishana is not a sufficient reason to be mechayev you. You know, it just means you acted a little inappropriately relative to the expectations. But in order to trigger chiyuv, there has to be that substantial connection of ones haba machmas hashinoi.
Okay, so I guess, but we have seen plenty of rishonim that don't require, or that do require ones ba machmas hapshia within chazon. So like, I guess, so it's more of a local stream. Yeah. Okay.
Right. So there's an argument here. This is the question in our sugya, which is pshia a sufficient condition for liability, even if the onus, like nafkamina for when the onus is unrelated to the pshia.
Mm-hmm. So I think about like what like at least to me that like say oh you're only going to be high of oh all right, sorry never mind I see like the difference in the machmas all right
so it's a poshea kimazik argument that the Ramban saying when it, at least within Abaye when there's pshia that's kimazik so you're liable for any onus that comes after when there's mir shinui that's not kimazik. So the only way you could be liable is if you could trace the ultimate onus to the breach of the contractual expectations.
So maybe we need to say then that the Rabban would say that I'm chaya for him tripping on a root in my backyard, though.
Maybe.
I'm not sure. I'm trying to think of a way to make this make sense without saying that.
I guess it depends whether you could trace the tripping on the root, like with the animal. I guess there's a, that's like, to my mind, that's like just an act description point. So like, yeah, the animal could have tripped on Everest, right? If it tripped on the root in your backyard, all the more so it's going to trip on those rocks in Everest, right?
Or whatever. We could imagine some thing that could only take place on, like a tree fell on it or something like that.
Yeah, like, that's like some question. But that's yeah, like an, that's like a description question, you know, about
yeah,
how do you connect those dots exactly? But my point is that in one case you have to connect the dots, in the other case you don't.
Got it.
Good. All right, Shmuel, what do you think of the Ramban? Thumbs up. It's good Ramban, right? Yeah. Yeah, Kier, you on board for the Ramban?
Yeah, I'm a fan.
Okay, great. Donnie, you too? Evan? Going crazy about it?
Yep. I'll take anything that knocks a toso.
Okay. Donnie was like, whoa. Okay, I was very excited by this Ramban. It took me a while to crack it, but that's I'm very happy with this Ramban. I just want to say, notice the Ramban's like a shtickle-ishy tusso, at least in the moves that he's been making in this sugya. He's done this in the past where he's tried to interpret some of the cases of liability as like contractual expectations that seem to supersede the Shomrim rules. Do you remember the Ramban's case of remember offhand where we saw the Ramban do this? So think for a second. It's the case of Natri Kedenatri Inshi for a Shomer Chinam. Oh yeah, in distinguishing between the whether Havle Lamavrinu Chada Chada is Pshia. Remember this? So Tosas thought there's a Stira between the Sugi in Bava Kama and the Stira in Bava, and the Sugi in Bava Metzia, that whether taking the flock, the sheep one by one is negligence. And Tosa said, oh, it's just, it's a machlokas asugyas, or, you know, 2 days in one gemara, one day another gemara. And Ramban said, no, you have to distinguish between shmira and nezikin, because nezikin is about pshia, were you poshea or not. And the answer there is that halal marvinu chada chada is pshia, it is negligence. But you're not chayiv as a shomer chinam, because everybody knows that the shomer chinam is only mekabel shmira, the expectation of the agreement, is as he's shomer things bishalo, right? He's not getting paid, so we can't expect him to do more than he does for himself. So that makes the move, that's a similar type of move with Ramban saying, we have to be very careful that in shomrim, there could be certain overrides based off the contractual expectations that are distinct from these like objective Shia requirements. So that's our Imbama Shitaso in these types of cases. Great. So now we get into the main event. Before we get to the main event, I mean, two other side ha'aros along the way. So number one, just Tosos everywhere is Loshitasam, that all the deos require Onis Haba Machmas Abshia. No need to dwell on these, but I'll just note Tosos Amlamin Babamid Aleph says, even the man Amar Tchasab Shias of Bonus Chayev, that's Dafka in the Tzrifa de Orvani type case. The Efshar, notice that Efshar, the modal operator, Imlo Pasha Mitchila Lo Hayanera One Shal Geneva. So the Rif didn't have the Efshar, but Tosus here requires Onis of Bamachmas Apshia discussion. And again, his Raya is from Ayin Ches. V'chein Muchach B'Perka Umnim, Zochas Apar L'Licha Bahar V'Licha B'Bika, V'Hashlamah Damar Tchasab Shias Oban Eschayev, you should be whatever. So it's got to be what he said, that you require Ones Machmas Apshia. Okay, so you see Tosus in that Anlam Evav is L'Shitaso. And then again, Tosim Bavmit CMM Bez is Lashitaso, where he says, Vidafka Hecha Sheyachalios Shehaones Lohaya Nera Imlo Pasha Bitchila. So again, Ones above Machmas Apshia with the operator of Yachalios. Kind of funny how Tosos has like so many different words to make the same point. All right, here it says Yachalios, and here it's Efshar. What did he say on Ayin Ches? What was Tosus' formulation?
He talks about a Yesh Litlos.
Yeah, that's right. So one second.
It was like Yesh Litlo Dim Efshar, I think is what it was.
Yeah, so Yesh Litlos Shimon Efshar. Yesh Litlos Efshar. Yeah, so I mean, I assume these are all getting at the same point. But the same type of operators. Okay. One other ha'ara in this discussion, in the end of this long Tosos Shams, quote unquote, Kubetas, which is a lot of interesting material in this Tosos Shams, Tosos here, Tosos Shams says, if you look at the sugyas in the Zikin, Rashi makes all those cases as cases of Onis Haba Machmas Apshia, right? What do you do? So Tosos Shams, I should say, is not on board for Tosos' analysis that you require Onis Haba Machmas Apshia in all these cases. He points out that Rashi makes those cases into Onis Haba Machmas Apshia. And what's his answer? All those sigyas are Rava. I'll leave you the Rava. Which is really great. And Zachary, this is your response to Shua, effectively, a while back.
Yeah, I mean, this is actually a particularly bad example because there are a lot of people who hermetically seal the two sugyas of Tchiasov Shiasov Bonus by Shomrim versus by Nezikin. So, for example, the Rambam notably does not make these ukimtas that Rashi does by Nezikin. But he does require Machmas by Shomrim.
Right. So we'll talk about this. There's a whole view out there that wants to distinguish between Tosav Shia Sof Bonis and the Zikin from Shomrim. We're gonna talk about this a little later on.
Yeah.
I don't know if you got to see the Or Sameach yet. The Or Sameach and the Avi Ezri, like they have like really interesting views about Shomrim, about the Zikin. I actually don't share their intuitions, which we'll talk about. But you're right, Zachar, you could have distinguished that way. Tosos Shans goes another way, right? He says, oh yeah, it's because those Gemaras just assume Rava of Onis Haba Machmas Apshia. But according to Abaye, it's fair game. L'kuliyam lo yidbi chayev, because once you're poshea, you're chayev, come what may. Good. So I just think that's really important, and it does the substantive work that Zachary wants it to do against Shua's type of objection, where you just say, like, any sugya that shows that you're not chayev for pshia alone is a rava sugya. So it frees up the it makes the view, or let me say, once you confine yourself to Shitas Abaye, it makes the view much more defensible. Because even when you have these opposing sugyas, you just say, oh, those sugyas just disagree with the main chiddush that pshia is a sufficient condition of liability on its own.
Mm-hmm. And just like one point, the unique feature of Ayin Ches is it's not the sugya, which you can say is arguing on Abaye, it's the Mishnah itself, which is why that's a unique problem for Abaye.
Correct, which is Tosa's argument. But I think the Ramban does a good job defusing that. Right, the Ramban saying that's not a Pshia issue, that's a Shinoi issue. Right, which I think is totally, totally right. Great. Let me just make one other diak in Tosa. Did anybody get a chance to see this long Tosa Shantz? It's really long. I should just say this. I'll just say it very quickly. In this little section here, what Tosa Shantz does is he cites Tosos's view that you could dismiss the sugya and Sadi Gimel with all those shemas. Shema had the shepherd stuck around, the lion would have run away, right? All those possible world suggestions. Everybody remember this from Tuesday? And Tosa Shantz says, first of all, that's inconsistent with the phrase "chasub shia sofa bonus," because once you get into these, like, had he not have been poshtea, the ones would not have come. That's chilasa b'sofa b'pshia. So that's just like an important objection to that line of Tosos. So think of it that way. But more importantly, the Tosa Shantz here, if you read through this carefully, thinks it's inconsistent with the plain meaning of the Gemara, when the Gemara says "Omdin oso im haya yachal lahatzil." That was the language of the Gemara on Sadi Gimel. That in order to make him liability, in order to make him liable, the Gemara said, "Blah blah blah." Ein omrim ilu haya sham haya matzil v'yischayev. Sorry, yeah. Ela kol she'ilu yachal lahatzil chayiv, haynu ilu haya sham haya matzil. This is Tosos' summary of the Gemara. If you look back at the Gemara said, "Omdin osa im haya yachal lahatzil." And basically, what the Tosos Shantz says is that that line in the Gemara means, "Ein omrim she'yischayiv misafek mishum deshema efshar she'ilu haya sham haya matzil." So look at this Tosos Shantz, and what he's saying is that Tosos's interpretation of Shema Haya Sham Haya Matzil is inconsistent with that statement in the Gemara that says Ein Omrim Ilu Haya Sham Haya Matzil. So it's like he just thinks the plain meaning of the Gemara is inconsistent with Tosos's speculative possible world analysis. So worth noting. Okay. All right. Good. So now we turn to the main event for today. I want to take a closer look at these formulations in the Achronim about what Shitas Abaye is getting at, that you're chayev for the Pshia, and on which point is Rava disagreeing with when he says, we require onis abba machmas apshia. So somebody tell us what's Rabbi Kiva. I mean, Rabbi Kiva Eger has the clearest formulation of the Tutsdadim, or what exactly the views are disagreeing about. And somebody just tell me, at least without going through the formulations here, what Rabbi Akiva Eger's two formulations are. Meaning, what's Abaye Shita and what's Rava Shita? Evan, do you get a chance to see Rabbi Akiva Eger?
Not yet.
Not yet on the Rabbi Akiva Eger? Well worthwhile reading. I mean, this is hugely important. Shmuel, do you
scroll down? Can you scroll down a little bit? I saw it the other day. I just want to refresh, like, so we can see Rava, yeah.
So this is the Abaye. This is the Abaye view. And this is the row view down here. Okay, so
I think I give it a shot.
So go for it, Evan.
So I was saying, so Abaye says that, like, the moment of Shia there, so like the moment of Shia sets off a like wide ranging, maybe even all encompassing, like, now I am responsible, like originally, like a shomer or whatever, it doesn't have full responsibility, it has partial response, like I have a duty, I have whatever level of duty it is, that moment of Shia now transfers, and like that doesn't even have to call it Nezek necessarily, but it's a transfer of full responsibility, in exchange for the risk exposure, I now like accept all anything that happens to this clean now I'm responsible for.
Doran Bond's formulation of, you know, may idam shia ukmir rahman abrishusei. We could just say that you're chayiv for the pshia, right? That's like, it's the moment of the pshia that's in the chayiv you. That's when you're on the hook for liability. Correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Saying that you're chayiv for the pshia makes it sound like it's like a punishment, or it's it's a moment of exchange of responsibility, not necessarily a moment of exchange of like, I guess chayiv is responsibility. Okay, so never mind on that.
Yeah, and we're not in punishment land at all. We're in like compensation, duty of repair.
Yeah.
Right. So like the liability. Let's say liability.
Yeah, it's not necessarily like pshia. It's not necessarily that pshia is like. It's not like you've already like pshia, like pshia kamazik sounds like the moment of pshia is in itself a tortuous act or something like that. Whereas I think it's like it's a transfer. It's a moment of transfer, not a moment of. You've already done the thing wrong.
Right. Well, maskil miyara shibud, right? That's when the liability opens up, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. Hofeld, remember our good friend Hofeld from the beginning of the semester? So this is actually works out very nicely in Hofeldian terms. Remember that Hofeld called a liability when somebody else now has a power against you. Right. So when does the Nizak's power to collect go? When does that become effective? Right. So it's the moment that you are Poshea that he now gains this like power, or you become liable to be subject to a duty to pay. Something like that. Right. There's even if like the amount of the duty or something like that is going to be filled out once we determine the scope of the nezek. So for Abaye within Bikibe Eger, Mishas Apshia Shtab Nichsei. For Rava, what's going on?
So Rava doesn't think that there's this wide ranging total transfer. It's that that Rava requires Onich Ba Machmas Apshia, because then I think it was something that we mentioned, like, I remember bringing up like a few weeks ago at this point that ones of pshia sofa but ones is just another term. It's just a, letting us know that this is called also pshia.
Yeah, exactly. Tosfos Shanz criticized Tosfos' view, saying, "Well, that's just going to be tchilas of a sofa but pshia. Why should it's a misnomer, or it's misleading for the gemara to call tchilas of pshia sofa but ones, right?" Ricky Vager says for Rava. Well, yes, it's really just chilas of a sofa b'pshia, because once the onis b'machmas ha'pshia, havek kmo ha'pshia atzma. So here's his formulation. Kiven da onis b'machmas ha'pshia, nigra rachar ha'pshia, b'havek kulo b'pshia, d'mashe b'mikocho, havek kmo ha'pshia atzma. That's Ricky Vager's interpretation of Rava. Now, let me just say this. Remember last Chabura, somebody asked, well, what's the significance about the difference between Tosos' Ones Haba Machmas HaPshia and the Rif's Ones Haba Machmas HaPshia? Aren't these just two different ways? They're arguing about the standards for Ones Haba Machmas HaPshia, but conceptually they're on the same page. Does everybody remember this? And I said, well, it's to resist a certain way of conceptualizing the view. And it's to resist this formulation of Ricky Vager, See, the way Wikibagger sets it up, it's a baye v rava. That's like the fundamental fault line. And it's a rava view that says, kol sheba machmas hapshia is a pshia atzma. So it's havekula bipshia. That's like the rava view. And the Abaye view is d'me'idon d'pasha karash d'abi nifse. I just want to point out that if you take my analysis of Tosis's view, you could hold that even within Rava, they would agree me'idon d'pasha karash d'abi nifse, because they allow for such a tenuous connection between the ones and the later pshia, meaning. It's not clear that such a tenuous connection that Tosis allows for would justify saying that it's habekula bipshia, because it's ba mikocho. You see that? Given Tosis's low threshold for what constitutes ba machmas, I'm not sure that you would conclude that everything is kula bipshia, demasha ba mikocho, because it's not really ba mikocho for Tosis. But I want to flag that possibility right now. Somebody see that? Thoughts on this, or okay? It's just a point when we think about the framework in the sugya. Some achronim like Rabbi Kivager here make Abaye versus Rava the important fault lines, and I just want to point out that for some rishonim, you could maintain what Rabbi Kivager calls an Abaye view within Shivas Rava. That's just the conceptual point I wanted to make on that. Now. What's Rabbi Kivager's nafkamina? I think his nafkamina is ingenious. We mentioned this about 2 weeks ago. What's the nafkamina between these two conceptions, the Rava conception and the Abaye conception? Skaria?
He also begneva veda, the sofbonus.
Yeah. So it's called begneva veda sofbonus. Why is that a nafkamina?
Right. So he suggests that Abaye would believe that's pater, tchasob shita begneva veda sofbonus, while Rava would think that's chayiv. So why would that fall out that way? So since Abaye only believes that Shia is this unique, sudden, instant Shibud. However, Gneva Veda does not reach that benchmark and requires an actual harm to generate Chiyuv.
Yeah, tell us a little more about that. Why should specifically Shia generate the Shibud Nechazim? But not Gneva Veda, which on its face is also just a kind of liability rule, right?
Right. So I think this kind of probably bars the mere violation of contract or duties, because both of them are pretty much equivalent violation of the contract. I think you probably want to lean more on the Poshea Kamazik, Shia's unique violation.
Yes, I agree. I think you have to buy in here to like something akin to Poshea Kamazik to explain the uniqueness of Shia. That's right. That's right. Let me just say, notice this is different from the Ramban's move. The Ramban's move was to distinguish between like the objective risk imposition and the contractual expectation issue. Right? That was an important distinction that Ramban drew. Rabbi Kivager here is drawing a distinction between Shia and Gneva Veda, which I think are both risk imposition type things, just different levels of risk imposition. And you have to say that the Pshia level is what rises to the level of Nezek and will say, Me'idan de Pasha Ishtabe Nichse. Gneva Veda is not as egregious. So it's in order to launch Abaye's view off the ground, a certain threshold of egregious Pshia has to be met in order to say that there is Shiba Nechasim. So I think it's exactly right, Zakaria.
Right. And on the flip side, for Rava, since this he has a sort of kind of grera of a prior activity requalifies the ones, so that's equally applicable, it seems, for Gneva Veda, that you can say, listen, if you start off doing something that's reckless on the level of Gneva Veda, and then ones happens, machmas, that, you could apply the same kind of form of Svara and say, listen, that'll be the end is also Gneva Veda, and he'll be liable.
Exactly. If this is all just like a metaphysical claim about if cause brings about an effect, then the effect is defined by the cause, then Trilasta Bigneva Veda Sofa Bones should be Trilasta Visofa Bigneva Veda. And basically, what Kibaker is saying, Rava's view is not grounded in a theory of Poshea Kemazik. It's grounded in just the metaphysics of causation.
Yeah, there's like a double machlokas here, Tunapai and Rava.
Yeah.
Is Pshia different and metaphysics of causation?
It's like Lumdis at its best, right? I mean, it's just like a very clean Rabbi Kibaker, really elegant. Actually, he does some really fancy footwork here to solve problems and like why questions make sense in certain places. But I think this is really just an interesting way of breaking down the views. It reinforces the Poshea Kemazik theory. And it just does an excellent job showing the daylight between Rava's position and Abaye's position. Dick, here, you have a hand on this?
Yeah, sorry, I maybe didn't understand this completely. Can you just repeat why he thinks for Abaye the Shiva Chas will be limited to Shia?
So I think it's something along the lines of like a Poshea Kemazik theory that the mice of Shia is so egregious that it's sufficient to make you liable in and of itself. Whereas Chos B'Gneva Veda doesn't carry that kind of punch. Like there's not sufficient wrongdoing, the Shia Le'inyan G'Neva Veda, to make you liable.
What does these words mean exactly? How did this Derech She'Tovad Maskel Miad? I have no idea how to read that.
So he says, Dafka b'pshia mishtaved, as opposed to Gneva Veda, Kivan de derech shete aved, maschil miyad hashivan. I think what he's saying is that, let me just conjugate it. De dafka b'pshia mishtaved, Kivan de derech shete aved, maschil miyad hashivud, meaning since like it's like there's like certitude now that it's gonna be destroyed. You see that it's like it's on the path to destruction.
Yeah.
Okay. Everybody agree with that reading? Sound good? I think it's a pretty cool idea. So it's like the probability or something, right? It's like now the item is risked, so it's like on the path towards its destruction. Good, Yakir? Shkaya, great. Zacharya? Shmuel, and then Zacharya.
So you made this distinction between the Ramban, who was, you wanted to say, was this level of contractual breaching, and here the Rabbi Akiva Eger, who it's this level of egregiousness. Obviously that holds. But is there some middle ground? Like, can't you say that at a certain point of egregiousness, you've broken a contract? I don't know if I'm like reading too much into it. But let's say the owner didn't specify Har or Bika, but at a certain point, like if you've exposed it to so much risk that it's just egregious, is there a way instead of making a strict divide to sort of marry the two?
No, for sure. I didn't mean to say for the Ramban, that you could only be chayav for one and not the other. That's not true, I think. And I agree with you. Ramban was just making an empirical claim that in the Har Bika case, you did it like because the risks are shaveh, the net risks are shaveh Bahar and Bika, so you haven't done the Pshia egregious thing. That's right. But of course, the Ramban would concede, even in the expectation case, that the Pshia would be machayev you. There's one exception. I don't think you were here for this. Were you here for the Havle Lamavrinu Chavda Chavda discussion, Shmuel? Okay. So in that discussion, the Ramban said, a Shomer Chinam, even though he did an action that would be defined as Pshia with respect to Nezikin, like he negligently took all the animals one by one over a bridge and one animal therefore shoved the animal over the side, the Ramban said, a Shomer Chinam would be Patur, because the clear expectations of a Shomer Chinam contract are that he'll treat your animals the way he treats his own stuff. not better. So if he's negligent with respect to his own stuff, and that's kind of like standard for people to be careless with their own things, that will override and make him putter for something that would otherwise be considered negligence. But that's the only type of case where there's like a contractual override of the contractual understanding overrides the Shia expectations. Yeah, great. Skaria?
Yeah, I was, Noah and I were going through this. We were a little confused by his formulations. He had like at least three or maybe even four different formulations of the Baye thing, some of them stronger than the others. Just to go through them. He had this, the original one says, Ela hatam demoda shapasha ishtabe nechse v'nishayv l'shalem ad sheyistal kapshia. So he seems to kind of point to two things. This sort of like shibud, this lien, and there's a chiyuv l'shalem. But no, this is before any hezek actually happens.
He's saying this nishayv l'shalem point.
Yeah, ishtabe nechse nishayv l'shalem. Noah was wondering how central the Nishayiv is, maybe more it's about the Ishtabed. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So,
is this like the kind of the Sfar saying, oh, he's Chayiv and just his bill is $0, but he has a running tab kind of thing?
Yeah, that's why I read it. Meaning, to borrow that cryptic distinction of Rabbi Chanan between a Chayiv of Poel and a Chayiv of Koach, this is a chiyuv befoel, meaning it's like it's as active a chiyuv as it could be, even though it has to be like there is real nischayiv, just he could potter himself by, you know, being mistalik the pshia.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it wasn't that I appealed to the cryptic distinction of Ruchana.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? I think the Nischayiv l'shalem.
I think it does warrant like the stronger reading here.
Yeah, it's right. It's more than just ishtabed nechse. It's more than just like there's a potential for liability. It's like no. Like your Nischayiv l'shalem. How much like that's going to be figured out?
Right. And do you agree with the read that Anshi Stalik of Shia implies that this chiyuv is prior to the damage? It's kind of like just when you're in a state of Shia, you're in a state of Chiyuv.
That's right. And if you want to get out of that state, you have to, you know, what he's calling Masalik the Shia, what other Achronim call Kulsa, Pshiaso, things like that.
Yeah. And then near the end, he has this, the most extreme, and he says, Imkain, of course.
In this section or the next section?
When he's within, the last paragraph, I think. Yeah, the first line, last paragraph. So where he's kind of saying, oh, Rava doesn't hold, which is a convenient time to, you know, reiterate a biased position. So Rava doesn't hold, ain't a tam of Rava, de me'edam de pasha na'aseh ba'chov ukakam le'ber shusei dami. Which is like, that seems like an even further, I don't know, a very strong formulation. And he's saying, you already are a debtor and it's in your reshus.
I'm just looking for that formulation. So you're in paragraph.
Yeah, the last paragraph here. First line. Aval Rava.
Ah, I see. Aval Rava say the be'idan ha'ones de'ba'inan ha'ones ba'machmas apshia imkena enatam de'me'idan the pasha nasa ba'chov uchikamle b'rishus. That's like the Ramban's formulation, right? Ukme rachma ukme b'rishus elishayu. You're saying the significant phrase here is that Nasa Bachov.
Yeah, and the Bakamli Bershusa, I think these things, I don't know, originally I was kind of wanting to avoid saying Kushe Kamazik if we didn't need to, but I think these kind of formulations are very intense.
Ah, I see what you're saying. It's interesting, actually. Okay, so this is a very good hara. I think I misread this, so I didn't make a big enough deal of it. When I read this, I thought he was saying like the Ramban. Like the Ramban said, Misha She Pasha, let's look at the Ramban again. Here's the short version of the Ramban. Taimed Abayim, Chol She Tchasa Pshia, Misha She Pasha, Nasis Birshuso, Lehis Chayev Alei. b'chol inyan. So you see, the Ramban noticed the tense. If we have any Bali Diktuk here. Donnie, where's Donnie? Donnie, come back. Donnie's probably the closest thing we have to Balshan. We'll get Donnie back in a second, hopefully. So I think the Ramban's saying, once you're posheya, it's nasis birshuscha, like lihischayev, which I think is future tense.
Now, I mean, it's infinitive, but the implication is going forward.
Yeah, to become liable, to be liable, right? No, it's just a.
I mean, like it's like laman, like you know, like in order to become liable. And I think, like, yeah, there's. I don't think grammatically it is a future, but like, I think from the context, that's what it means.
Okay, to be liable. For the purposes of being liable?
Yeah, it's like a purpose clause.
So let's see. Interesting. But it's an infinitive. So translate it as an infinitive, translate this sentence.
Yeah, anything that starts out with Pshia, for the moment he's negligent, it has been placed in his domain in order for him to become liable, to be liable on it. In every way.
So to be liable, doesn't that imply like it's like there's some potentiality there, right? Or you're saying not? So just keep this formulation in mind for a second. Come back to Rabbi Akiva Eiger, where he says, on this formulation, within Rabbi Eina Tam to meet in the Pasha. Nasis balcho, nase balcho, to meidan de pasha, nase balcho, which sounds like he's already a balcho, misha she pasha.
Yeah, it's like sofa love malva. It's been liquidated.
That's right. Meaning it's almost like a kinyan gzela, or like you've, like the thing is gone. Once you're poshea, we view the thing as gone, and you're liable for it. If you want to get out of liability, then prove to us that kolsalach pshiascha, or that you're misalik the pshia. Whereas for the Ramban, you get more of the impression that, well, now it's ukme birshuscha, such that will hold you liable for something that occurs. Like for the Ramban, like the momentum seems like future, pointed towards the future. And in Rabbi Akiva Eiger's formulation, it sounds like, no, like the chiyuv is, it's like there's the equivalent of a kinyan gzela right now. That you're, like, we view the thing, once you're poshea, the thing is destroyed, and you're prima facie, you're presumptively liable for it. Ray, agree with that important distinction between the Rabbi Akiva Eiger's formulation and the Ramban's formulation? Originally, when I read them, I thought they were the same, but I think Zachariah is right to point out that there's this important difference between them. Guys, what do you think? Ekir, are you on board for this?
Yeah. I think that's right.
Great. What do the rest of you think? Well, you agree or you're not sure?
I mean, I think the reading is good. I don't have a better reading. But I'm wondering, while we're on this point, is there an important distinction between like what we've been saying previously of Poshe Kamazik and this idea of nasis bereshuso, or is that just sort of another way of alluding to the fact that poshea is kamazik?
Yeah. Right now, I'm happy to. I need to think deeper about like poshea kamazik to figure out other different ways to persistify that notion. And yeah, right now, let's just assume, I think it's right to say that this would be in one explication of that idea, right? That Misha She Pasha, you're considered to have been mazik it. We view it as if it's destroyed, and therefore you're liable to pay for it. And if you want to get out of payment, then you have to prove that kolsa pshiyascha, that you're, you know, that you were misalik the pshiyah. And similarly, I think you could say the Ramban, you know, for the Ramban, it's like maybe like a weaker form of poshea kamazik, which is you're considered to have been mazik it for the purpose of like holding you liable if something occurs after. So maybe there's, I think these are two variations of the notion of Poshea Kimazek. I think the Rikivagar formulation is a cleaner, stronger formulation, just like truer to the words of Poshea Kimazek.
Right, but the whole idea of it being Birshuso, maybe I just don't understand sort of the laws of Nezikin well enough, but the fact that it's considered in your Rishus now that you've been Mazik, is that of significance?
Yeah, so this is a good question. I want to revisit this point when we get to the discussion in the Achronim about whether to distinguish between Tchelsa B'shiyas Sofa Bones and Nezikin and Shomrim. See, I think you could just read these phrases as Kamle Bershuse, meaning the liability. So,
right, okay.
Right, you now are saddled with the liability. That's what Bershuse. I suppose, and in which case it would be the same for Nezek and Shomrim. I suppose there's a way to say that Kamle Bershuse is more of like a Shlichus Yad paradigm, where like we now view you as having embezzled the item. I don't think we have to go there. And I mean, Rikivagar noticed that he's not talking about the chayfet. I mean, I don't think he's talking about the chayfet, but it's about the chov that's Bershuse. Yeah, it's a good point. So we'll revisit when we talk about this distinction. Excellent. Great. So that's Rikivagar. Now let's move to the COVID shiurim. What I think is great about the COVID shiurim is he says the chiyuv is al hapshia, okay, for Abaye, who doesn't require onus bo machmas hapshia, at least within the shitas arif. His formulation is a little strange. He says, tzarech lomar she'ein achiyuv machmas onus, and that's kind of trivially true. Nobody thinks you're chayuv for onsen. What he means is that your chiyuv is not for bringing about the onus. And that's what he means in that phrase. Ela hachiyuv hu al hapshia, like what you're liable for is for like the original pshia component of it. And then I think this phrase is very telling. So what do you think of this phrase? Ela she'im lo nensa umachzira havale tashlimen. I think that's the gold formulation here. So what does he mean by that?
So he really means like you've taken like you now owe the VAT. So if I'm watching your $100 horse and I am Poshea, at that moment I really owe you $100, Kiddin. And if there's no ones ends up happening, then okay, so you pay me back the $100 and we're all square.
Yeah. It's like I think that's exactly right. So there's he's taking very seriously this notion that the full chiyuv exists in shas apshia, elamai, I could pay you back in kind, right? Which is different. I mean, I could pay you back with the value of the thing itself.
So, like, I like this idea, but would he say that, like,
before you get to the theoretical, I just want to contrast it with Rabbi Kivager, who, as Zacharia pointed out, said, what's really happening is Misha she pasha ishtabig nifsev nischayav l'shalim ad she yistalek apshia. What you might say is that when you give the thing back, you're misalek the pshia, right? Nothing, like you've removed the original negligence. So you could get out of liability by showing kol salap pshiasva. I think Rabbi Chanan's formulation is a little cleaner relative to the concept of like Poshea Kimazik, that there's real chiyuv mishas apshia. And he's saying, no, you don't have an out by being misalik or apshia. Your out is like through like compensation in kind. But that's what's going on when you give it back. But go ahead, Adin.
Maybe this is like two, like this is like a klutz kasha. So if I'm Poshea unintentionally, I didn't mean to, but I brought it out and I brought your donkey up to the mountain or whatever. Can I keep it now? Like, is it no longer gzela to like, I'd be like, no, I'll give you the $100. Like, I want the donkey. I'll give you the $100 or something like that.
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, I think the right thing to say is to distinguish between primary duties and secondary duties. So you have to say a chiddush in tashlumin of nezikin, or tashlumin of shomrim, that look, the pride, like the duty to compensate is always because you can't resurrect the thing that was destroyed. The chiddush of poshea kemazik is that there's a shame nezek while the thing is still fully in good health, right? So your primary duty of compensation will fall on like the thing itself rather than the just the equivalent in value. Mm-hmm. But it's in question at the end whether like there's at least a case to be made that
the, is it like a kinyan?
Yeah, something like, I think that's a good, it's interesting, it's a very interesting point, especially if you go with Shmuel's argument that this is more Gazela-esque than Nezikin-esque, right? Because then you could say, oh, like the Ukmei Bershusei means like he has title or something like that.
Yeah, or it's like Kinyan Gzela, like
yeah,
something like
yeah,
that.
I need to think about this more. You know, when we learned Bava Kamma, we saw these views that say, why do you have to pay Metav? Because, like, why do you have to pay from your best of your stuff? And they say it's because compensation never really makes him whole because he's still missing his thing. So you have to, like, use the best produce as a way of, like, showing that, like, you're paying not only for the value, but for the fact that he's losing the thing that he really wants. So, like, you might say in these types of cases,
you're like, the Metav is the thing itself.
Yeah, something like that. Exactly. That's the main idea. Good. Great Rabbi Chanan, right? I mean, I think that's a really interesting formulation that giving the thing back is the Torah's tashlumen. But the chiyuv, like the full chiyuv, the full reason for the chiyuv is there. Okay. Thoughts on Rabbi Chanan? Everybody good with it? Okay. So now Rabbi Chanan points us to this Tosvos in Ksuvis Lamed Dalet. Yakir, is that an old hand or a new hand?
It's old. Well, it's either old or retracted.
Got it. Fair. So Rabbi Chanan points us to this Tosvos in Ksuvis Lamed Dalet that I want to take a close look at now. Now, I think what's great about this Tosvos is it gives a concrete nafgamina to the notion that when is the crucial moment of chiyuv, right? This Tosvos gives us a nafgamina to whether the chiyuv is mishas apshia or mishas anezah, right? So let's take a look at this Tosvos. Everybody get a chance to look at the sugya and ksuvis? Great sugya. By the way, Yakir, how's Gabe's? You all right? He's...
Yeah, Maytal's not feeling well.
Got it.
So he's dealing with that.
Got it. We'll send her our Fushlingo. So look what the... So we have this Gemara in Ksuvis, Lamedala and Bez. Let's go through this Gemara carefully because there's a lot of important points that come out of this discussion. And then we could save the discussion of the Chok Yaakov. And I don't know if you got a chance to look at the Chumas HaKri and the Chok Yaakov for Tuesday because that's Chametz discussion. So it's like perfectly timed that pre-Pesach we get to talk about Chasub Shiasof Lones and Chametz. So let's look at the Gemara. So any volunteers to walk us through the Gemara here? There are a few stages in the Gemara. Sorry, you volunteer?
Yeah, sure.
Great.
So Gemara Ksubis deals with a few cases. So I'll just read through it. So Amar Papa,
hi, so cool. Let me just say, the holy grail of the Gemara is Shas Achiyu. Meaning, like, when is the crucial moment of liability, correct? Yeah. That's because it's a Kinle Vidrabamine discussion. So that's what the Gemara is explicitly trying to pin down. So, yeah, go ahead, Zaharia.
So, Amra Papa, Haisa Para Genuvalo, Latafa Bashabis, Chayev, Shekvarnas Haibagneva, Kodim Shiavode, Yisra Shabbos. So, he has stolen account before Shabbos, but he shechs it on Shabbos. So, he's Chayev, certainly for the Kefel. I don't know about the Dalvahe. Because he stole it before Shabbos, before he violated Shabbos. wasn't ban kachas. But haisa parsha ulalo v'tafla b'shabbos. But if he had borrowed a cow and then he shechs it on Shabbos, he's totally patur from tashlumim because all of the chiyuvei geneva of dan v'hei and kefel come at the shas chita, which is the same time that he's violating Shabbos. So because of kimle, he's patur.
Right. So the Gemara says, it's kind of obvious, right? Why is Rapapa trying to tell us kedushin about cows?
So, Amalei, Rapapa she'ul aso shminan, sagadai chamina, hol v'amra of papa, mishas meshicha hu de eschayv le bebezono say, hachanam mishas she'ela eschayv ba'on say, kamash malam. So we might have thought that since Rapapa said in Bava Metzia that once you do once a shoel does meshicha, he's responsible to feed it. You might have thought that Rapapa believes as well that once he does Mashiach, he's chayiv, that is a moment of chiyuv for onsen. Kamash malan, that no, the chiyuv onsen happens at the shas ones, not at the shas Mashiach.
Yeah, excellent. So the Gemara has a havmina here that maybe the crucial moment of maybe a shoel is nischayiv mishas sheila, and at least Rapapa denies that, right? Rapapa says the chiyuv is mishas ones, the mishas, like mishas nezek, basically.
Yeah.
Good, that's our Papa's view. We'll see if Rabbi might disagree with it.
Yeah.
All this is pretty straightforward.
Yeah. Then we have a second pair of cases. So, Amar Rabba, Hiniyach Lahen Avien Par She'ula, Mishtamshim Bel Kol Yimei She'ilasa, Mesa Ein Chayavin Be'onsa. So, some Yorshim inherit a borrowed cow, so they can use it for the term of the She'ila, and if it dies out of Ones, they're not responsible. They don't
think So, let's just say this... Rashi here says this is a chiddush that they're not the shoalim. They can't become chayav onsen. The only party who could become chayav onsen is the father.
Right, even though they still have a right to use it for the term of the sheila.
Yeah, so another way to say, we spoke earlier in the year about property as a bundle of rights or different incidents that could be separable from each other. The yorshim inherit the use right. They don't inherit the shame shoal, right? They don't inherit the liability for onsen right. So
yeah.
One stick, not the other stick.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Good.
All this, just the important fact to bear in mind here is that I think this is right. The Yarshim can't become chayiv on their own merits. Right. They're not the shoalim to become chayiv in liability. The party to whom liability can accrue is the father. That's the crucial point to take away from here. Now. Now we have a second case within Rava. Yeah.
So, case two, Kesvurin Shalaviyim hi, v'tavchua v'achluha, meshanan d'mei basar v'zol. So, let's say they were under the false impression that it actually belonged to their father, and they shechted and ate it. So, they only have to pay, which is the shir masha nehenis, which is the cheap meat, but they don't have to pay for shia or mazik or whatever.
Exactly. So, the important point to take away from that part of the Gemara is no liability for Nizik and Shomrim. There's just restitution under theory of Nana.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's like a Yoreid Sugya type issue, not a liability Nezek type issue. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So good. So now things get a little complicated.
Right. So we have a clause which is qualifying one of these cases. So, Hiniyach Lehen Avien Achrayis Nechasim Chayavim Shomrim. If their father had left them land as well, then they will be liable to pay.
Yeah. So what is right? So had the father, if the estate still had land that they inherited, let's just say if there was land to the estate, if there was real property, then there is going to be chiyuv. Now, I think the right thing to say here is we're trying to figure out whether there was liability, whether the shas chiyuv began mechaye ha'av, and therefore the liability attached to the karkos of the father, and the yarshim also inherited the liability when they inherited the karkos. Right, that's like the crucial, that's the important question for the sugya. Everybody on board with that? Right, so we're trying to figure out in these cases, was there a shas chiyuv b'chayav? if there is, then that chiyuv will attach to his karkos, and the yorshim will have to pay up from those karkos, which are meshubad, to the baal.
Well, I mean, can't we distinguish between a chiyuv and a shibud? As in, we don't necessarily need a full chiyuv gvia, like collectible and based in b'chayav. We just need a shibud on the karka. I'm not sure if, I don't know, other people have not been distinguishing between them. But
yeah, it's an interesting point, especially with Kivagar, as you saw together. So let's see the Gemara's answer, and then we'll talk about whether the grounds for distinguishing between shibud and chiyuv.
Yeah, so
then they're
chayiv.
Okay.
Right. So la seifa.
All of these within Rava's view, right? Yeah. Rava's resha and Rava's seifa.
Yeah. So man demasti la aresha kol shekina seifa upligid rav papa. So there are those who apply it to the resha, in which the case of they fully knew that it was borrowed and it was mesa to an ones. And nevertheless, if they had any karka from their father, they'd be chayiv. And all the more so in the seifa, in which, you know, they did this egregious action where they shechted it, surely they're chayiv. And that is disagree.
So the idea is that if you're masni la aresha, then you're pliga dira papa.
Yeah.
That's the important point. Why are you pliga dira papa?
Because you're chayiv mishas Meshicha, presumably, or at least some earlier point.
Exactly. Because Rashi here says, Rav Papa held is the Shas Onsen that's Mechayev you. The Shas Onsen, meaning the Shas, like the damage, the destruction of the item, was La'achar Chayehav, correct? As opposed to Shas Shela. So at least Rashi here is a little complicated. I don't want to get into Rashi. But the point is you're pliga de Rav Papa because on Rav Papa's view, there's no way to get a Shas Chiyav b'chayav, right? Notice he says, Hu de'asi Chiyav Chiyav ale. You're interested in Zachariah and Shibud versus Chiyav. Right, I mean, Rashi uses the language of chiyuv, dasi chiyuv ale. Whereas, so if you're masni aresha, that's the point. Then you hold that even if the ones occurs be chaye hayorshim lachar misa saav, there's liability mishas shela, and that's contrary to Rav Papa. Everybody see that? You'll recall the discussion about shomrim, right? Is it mishas shela, mishas nezek? These are and they say there are two days in the Gemara and Ksuvis. The two days is this machlokas Rava and Rav Papa. Okay,
yeah.
Now here's the next part. So ma demasni la seifa.
Right, man demasna seifa aval aresha lo v'chayin de Rav Papa. They're those who only apply it to the seifa, the case where they were mistaken. The father didn't tell them; they thought it belonged to their father, and then they shechted it. So if they had inherited karka, they're chayin. So just to that case, but they wouldn't apply it to the aresha case. And this is in full agreement with Rav Papa that it's mishas ones.
Yeah,
which is a part of the explanation of why would Rav Papa agree with this, the seifa case. Like the aresha is totally in agreement, but. All right, so Rashi adds in.
Well, just to be precise, right? So the idea is that if you're masni this on the seifa, so then you're putter in the resha case, okay? So why are you putter in the resha case? The answer is because no action was done b'chaye ha'av. So there's no way to b'chaye the father for anything. And that's kind of like Rav Papa, who holds mishas onsen. That's the idea here, right? So there's no way to stick liability to the father because in the first case, aval aresha lo, the ones occurs after misaso, so his assets are not meshubid for the ones which occurred later. Now, enters Tosfos. And Tosfos kind of adds in an important level of clarification here. So in the last case, right, the second view in the Gemara, aval resha lo behind Dara Papa. Go ahead, Zacharia.
Yeah, so the Tosos explains this. This is aval resha lo behind Dara Papa. De lo amrina mishas she'ela chayv onsen. In other words, we don't say you're liable for other onsen from the moment you borrow. In Tomar,
that's the Hainu thing. So, right, that's our
Papa. That's in line with Rapapa.
Exactly, right. Rapapa's view is that you're not chayev mishas she'ela, you're chayev mishas onsen.
Yeah.
Or let's just say, it's not mishas she'ela that you're chayev for. It's an interesting question whether Rapapa is committed to view that you're chayev mishas onsen. That would complicate the last line of the Gemara. But let's just say that Rapapa's view for now is it's not mishas, it's just the negative. It's just the negation of the shas she'ela. Okay, v'nim tom.
Im Tomer in Kain b'seifa nani b'shetavchua amai mishalmin shiniach le'naviyah nacharas nechastim halonis hayim behen ha'av. If so, even in the seifa case where the Yorshim shafted it, why should they be liable to pay when their father left them land? The father would never become liable himself. So why should this matter?
Right. So the point here is Tosa seems to be saying, well, if it's the shas ones that's critical, the ones in the seifa even occurs lachar chayav. So there's no basis to hold him and his nechassim liable, right? So here's this crucial answer. V'yishlamar.
The chassam pasha b'ha'av shehaya lalomar lebanav she'ena shalo. Hilkach mechayim pasha b'ha v'nischayiv b'ha b'osasha v'nishtab du nechassav. So the father was actually negligent by not informing them that it didn't belong to him. Therefore, during his lifetime, he was negligent. He became liable in it. And from that moment, he generated a shibud on his land.
Yeah, nischaye babososha v'nishtab v'nechasav. So basically, I mean, this is a great Tosos, right? Tosos here is saying the crucial moment is the shas apshia. That happened mechaye v'av. So it's the father's liability. It's a remarkably important Tosos. Where you'll say, oh, what's the nafkamina? If it's the poshea, that's the nezek, or if it's the later damage, that's the nezek. Well, a clear nafkamina is whether the father's estate will be liable when there was pshia mechayav, but actual damage later on, correct? And Tosa says, oh, that's exactly what this Gemara is getting at. This Gemara is telling us that Shia mechayav means that it's the nezek of the father, and he's liable for it. And it proves that the chiyuv is really mishas apshia, not mishas the occurrence of the damage. Fantastic Tosos, right? So, what do you think, everybody? I mean, any thoughts on this? Hilkach mechayim pasha v'nischayiv ba be'oso shah. Like that's when the chiyuv really came into effect, even though there was no actual harm until much later when the Yarshim shafted it. So what do you guys think about this this Tosos? Let me add something here. Evan, looks like you have a thought. Evan, you had a thought on it?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the biggest leap is the pasha ba'av, right? I mean, that's not obvious at all, that just not telling your kids that you own something is poshea enough to generate the chiyuv.
Right, because like I guess are you always at risk of dying that, you know, you're putting other person's possession in harm's way if like your children don't know what to do with it, right? Fair enough, but... You know, that's a question about exactly what constitutes pshia, right? But once you grant that empirical point, the conceptual argument is quite sound, right?
Yeah.
The nezek is really mechayav. I'm blown away by this Tosos. Shmuel, thoughts on it?
I mean, if we put it in the context of our previous discussion, maybe we shouldn't be so blown away. It's he's chayv from the pshia. So
yeah,
assuming, right? Assuming that even if there's this big jump, if it is Pshia, then it flows well with what we've said so far.
Yeah, 100%. So you're like, you're already on board for Poshiach and Mazik, and all this is just like, you know, more nails in the coffin. Right. But I think this Nafkamina is just so beautiful. Also tucked away in a Tosos in Suvis, you know, it's like, it's just, everything's so perfect about it. Now, I let me add one little nofach here, one observation. So what is Shitas for a Papa? That's what's not so clear in the Gemara. When you read Rashi, Rashi says, Upliga dira Papa, the Amar Liela, he shaita de matula onsen, udasi chiyuva alay. Rashi says that Rav Papa's view is that the chiyuv is mishasa onsen. And he shaita de matula onsen, udasi chiyuva alay. And Rashi seems to run with that throughout the sugya here. Notice Rav Papa doesn't say that explicitly anywhere. I don't think he does. The Gemara says, the havamina is that you would have thought that it's mishas mashicha, kamashmol, and that it's not. Rashi fills in the missing clause and says, oh, it's not Mishas Mashicha, it's Mishas Ones. I think I'm right about that, right? So that's a little problematic, though, for Tosos' reading of the last line of the Gemara, when we say Hainu Dura Papa, because the Shasa Ones in the Seifa case is Bechaye Hayorshin. No? Does everybody see the issue? Once you go to the Seifa case, the Shasa Ones is really when the Yorshim shecht it. The Shasa Pshia is Bechaye Ha'av. So it's a little strange that the Gemara says Behainu Dura Papa to mean that it's Mishas Onsen Be'elach. Meaning, if you read Rav Papa as saying that it's Mishas Onsen, it's a little harder to make Tosus' point that it's Mishas Pshia.
My impression was that the Hainu Dura Papa and not Rav Papa, the battleground of that was the Reisha case. As in the Reisha case, that's where Rav Papa hinged on.
I thought the Gemara said, here it's Pliga Dura Papa, and here it's Hainu Dura Papa.
Right, but which... That position, as in its position on the Reisha case, expresses Rav Papa, not necessarily the position on the Seifa case, because the Seifa case is just a flat Pshia. But the position on the Reisha case, in which it is an Ones, you know, that's relevant to Rav Papa.
So it's not that, so the question is, like, it's not that Rav Papa would agree with the Seifa ruling of Rava.
Yeah, he's not weighing in on that.
Yeah, that's very possible. That is possible. Interesting. The Chiddush, so we should think about that point. What exactly is the Hainu Dura Papa here? Whether a Papa is consistent with the Seifa reading, with the Seifa ruling? See, I think if you think he is consistent with the Sefer ruling, you could say a huge chiddush, which is that when there's Pshia, Rav Papa, who says that's Mishasa Ones, just views the Shasa Ones as all being packed into the Shasa Pshia. Meaning, even Rav Papa himself, who says you're Chayav Mishasa Ones, that's when the Shasa Ones and Shasa Pshia converge. But when there's a divergence between the two, he would view the real shot, like the Shas HaOnes is just packed into the Pshia itself. Just something to consider within Shitas Rav Papa. Anybody have a thought on that? Might want to have to sit on it for a few days. Everybody's like, yeah, let's sit on it. Let's end here. Let's go. So think about that point. Think about exactly. So there are three possible Shas Chiyuv: Shas Mashicha, Shas Pshia, and Shas Ones. Rava, according to Tosos, is prioritizing the Shas Pshia. Rav Papa, according to Rashi, is Shas Ones. There's a Hava, according to one view within Rava, it's the Shas Mashicha, or Shas Shela. But I want to know, what's the relationship between the second view in Rava that it's Mishas Hapshia, and the Rav Papa view that it's Mishas Onas? So just try to think about that a little bit. Notice again Tosa's formulation that once you're Poshea, you're Nischayev Baba Osasha, Vinishtav Vinachasav. Very strong formulation, not just that there's a Shibud, but Nischayev. So think about that. And then next week, I want to start us off with this question here, which is, so far we have one nafkamina about hammering the liability into the Shas Hapshia. That's this nafkamina about a father who dies, are his assets meshubed. The second nafkamina that Achronim deal with, or Shmuel talks about it in Sachim, is how much would you pay if there's a price fluctuation between the Shas Hapshia and the Shas Ones when the thing gets damaged, right? So what fixes the amount of liability? So we'll talk about that. Then we'll look at some of these Achronim here. I want to talk about this Chumas HaKri, as the brother of the Ksos, and this Magen Avram and the Chok Yaakov, who have really interesting things to say about Chametz BaPesach. You'll have to familiarize yourself a little bit with the Harei Shalcha Lefanecha discussion for Nezikin, but we'll talk about those. It's a little bit of like an Ones Machmos HaPshia versus Chia for the Pshia alone. And then if we have time, I think it'll be good if we could read through the, let me just pull it up. Not sure we'll get to it, but if we have time, then I want to read through the this source here, which is the Chishir Rebbe Reuven, which I emailed out separately, who has like an interesting analysis of the sugya. Okay, so that's the plan for Tuesday. I thought we could wrap up Chosav Shia Sofa Bo'onis before Yom Tov. I'm not totally sure that we'll be able to. Do you guys want to schedule a second Chabura before Yom Tov, like that Thursday maybe, or is that anybody opposed to? Meaning, I think we definitely have normal Shir on Tuesday, normal. But I'll WhatsApp the group. We could decide if we want to meet Thursday or just push it off after Yom Tov.
I probably wouldn't be able, I think I was off of school, I probably wouldn't be able to come for Thursday.
Got it. We'll put it to a vote or something, and we'll probably come Thursday. We'll all be lazy and want to be, you know, in vacation mode, but we'll decide. All right, Shkach, everybody, have a good Shabbos, and we'll pick up next week.
Have a good Shabbos.
Shabbos, everyone.
For that first point you wanted to pick up on next week, between when the chiyuv is between borrowing pshia and ones, where specifically did you want us to key in on that?
Yeah, in the mefarshim.
Yeah.
So if you look in the that chiddush the shir of Shmuel, I'll share my screen again. Sorry. Here. Yeah. This. It's a small comment that Rav Shmuel has in Pesachim Hey Amid Beis. You can see that in this Kuf Beis section, he has a discussion there. He quotes this Nesivus, which I'll add to the source sheet. So just, you know, stay tuned for me to add that. But okay. The main discussion about the value fluctuation.
Got it.
Right?
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. Shkach Shmuel. Have a good Shabbos.
You too.
Take care. Bye-bye.